The 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Read tonight verses 35, 36, and 37. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Prayer. You can't read the Bible without becoming aware of it. From Genesis 4:26 on, we find prayer is an important aspect of religious faith. The temple was built to be a house of prayer for all nations. We normally think of prayer as a good thing. Over and over in the scriptures, we're urged, taught, commanded to pray. 1 Chronicles 6:11 says, "Look to the Lord in His strength, seek His face always." Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." Matthew 26:41, He said to the disciples, "Watch and pray so that you may not fail and that you may not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Luke 18:1, Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, He said, "Pray continually." James 5:13, "If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray." These are just a few multitudes of admonitions, commands given in the scriptures to pray. And when we look at Jesus, we see a great example of prayer and the importance of prayer in His own life. He prayed. He prayed. He didn't just talk about it. In Mark 1:35, we read, "Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place to pray." Early in the morning, while it was still dark, He got away from all distractions in a solitary place to pray. Mark 6:41, we find Jesus, after a busy day, leaving the crowds and the disciples to go out into the hills to pray. Again, getting away from people. And then in Luke 6:12, we find Him going into the hills to pray and spending the whole night in prayer. Early in the morning, before day, in the evening, all night He prayed. We have the commands of Scripture to pray. We have the example of the importance of prayer to Jesus. In our text, we have an example of the disciples James and John's prayer. You might call it a request by them, but it is a prayer, for it is in our prayers we make our request known to God. So in effect, they were requesting something, but it was their prayer. And their prayer has some good things about it. First, it was sincere. They were not being hypocrites. They weren't asking for something they didn't want. They were being honest with Jesus and asking for the thing they really wanted. You know, sometimes we pray, but we put what someone called parentheses in our prayers. "Lord, I'll go anywhere You want me to go, but not there. Lord, I'll do anything You want me to do, but not that." James and John had no parentheses. They were sincere. They were in earnest about their request. This was no trivial matter with them. Theirs was an intense and serious state of mind. And their prayer was of a definite nature. They had no questions in their minds as to what they thought they wanted. Grandmaster said, one to sit on your right hand and the other on your left when you come into your kingdom. You couldn't be more definite than that, except maybe they could have said, let James sit on your right hand, John on your left when you come into your... That's the only way they could have been more definite. They were specific about what they wanted. To define what you want when you pray is always important. And it seems to me that too much of my praying is of a very general nature. You know, we pray for God to bless everybody, and if He does, we don't know it. If He doesn't, we don't know it. You know, we're very general about it. I heard a black minister years ago, over in Georgia, preaching about prayer, and he asked the people to pray not for the governor of Georgia, but by the name of the governor. He didn't want God to get confused about which governor he was talking about. Specific. The disciples were specific and had a definite nature to their prayers. Theirs was a prayer of faith. They believed that Jesus was going to come into His kingdom and that He would be able to choose whom He would to serve Him. And they ask in faith. And these are all good qualities to have when you pray. Sincerity, earnestness, definite, specific about what you request, and of course, faith in God's ability to grant your request. With these four good qualities, you would expect your prayer to be answered. And yet, James and John's prayer was unacceptable to Jesus. He would not answer it as they desired. First, their prayer was all selfishness. They apparently had no thought at all of the other disciples, their merit, or their feelings. Like children, they asked first, and they really didn't want to share. And the other disciples truly were much like them, for when they found out what James and John had asked, they got upset. They were angry. And we don't usually think about it, but you can be quite selfish in prayer. You can be quite selfish on your knees. You perhaps heard about the fellow that prayed, God bless me and my wife, us two, and that'll do. And then they had a son, and he grew to be a man and was married. And so the same fellow was praying. He said, God bless me and my wife, our son and his wife, us four no more. Well, that's a little bit ridiculous, but they're actually written prayers that people made to God where they asked God to deliver them and their possessions and their property from storms and hurricanes and so forth. But as for the rest of the people, you can do whatever you please. You can be very selfish, even in prayer. And James and John were that. But not only did they not think about others and what they might want, they apparently had no thought about what Jesus might want for them. Listen as they begin their prayer. We want you to do for us whatever we wish. There was no thought. Like, we want you to do for us whatever you will, or whatever you know is best. We want you to do what we want. No thought about what God wanted, what Jesus wanted for them. Their concern was only with what they wanted. They had no concern at this time about fitting into Jesus' plans. Rather, they're saying, you do what we want you to do. Here we also see how insensitive they were to Jesus' situation. Jesus had just shared with them in the verses we looked at last week. The The most vivid statement up until this time about his coming betrayal, arrest, trial, abuse, and death. And immediately after this, as Luke puts it, as Mark puts it, James and John were asking, yea, demanding a personal favor. Jesus said, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be abused, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be killed. And they are wanting to be first in his kingdom. Can you imagine? It's like someone sharing their fear, their anguish, their pain, their concern about their cancer or family member's terminal illness or drug addiction, and we hear nothing of their cry and we ask to borrow a yard rake, or we complain about how painful our hangnail is. Not only were James and John selfish in their praying, with no thought of others or what Jesus wanted for them, not only were they insensitive to Jesus' situation, they did not really know what they were asking for. They didn't really know what they were asking for. They thought they did. They thought they were asking for power and position and wealth in this life. They thought they were asking for an easy life. They had no clear understanding, nor had they thought through what they were asking for. And Jesus said very bluntly, and we'll look at it more next week, hopefully, you do not know what you're asking. There's a sense, of course, in which none of us ever know the full ramifications of any request that we might make. Always, always, there will be more involved than we ever dreamed of. Most people have had the experience of getting exactly what they thought they wanted. Maybe a spouse, or a job, or a house, or a car. They got what they thought they really wanted, to find out once they had it, they didn't really want it at all. You ever known somebody got their dream job and they were immediately miserable in it? They got what they wanted, but didn't really want it. I've known young couples to get married, and well, I knew one couple that was separated before the wedding pictures got back. They got what they wanted, they thought, but it really wasn't what they wanted at all. We have the responsibility, if we would pray at our best, to think through what we're asking for and to see if we really want to pay the price that receiving what we ask for really requires. I still tremble sometimes at the hymns that we sing. So many of the hymns are prayers. And we sing them without thinking about what we are singing. And sometimes if God takes us seriously, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. Hymn that meant more to me at that time than any other was Have Thine Own Way, Lord. I prayed that hymn, I sang that hymn hundreds of times. And one day the Lord said, all right, I want you in the ministry. You know, you got to be careful what you're asking for. To think through our request helps us discover what our real desires are. Well, prayer. In some ways, we all pray. God commands it. Our spiritual lives require it. Our weakness compels it. But as we read in James 4:3, we can ask and not receive because we can ask amiss. Ask wrongly that we may spend what we receive on our own pleasures, our own desires. We need to pray rightly. And this includes sincerity, earnestness, being definite in what you ask for, faith, believing that God is able and willing and eager to answer your prayers. But it also includes sensitivity to God's will. Is this what God wants for us that we're asking for? It includes humility. We ask, but we must pray as Jesus did in Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Carefully also considering what we're asking for before we ask. Let us, as did our Lord, pray morning and night and all day through. But let us always pray for His will to be done. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the awesome, wonderful privilege of prayer. The very thought that we, sinful as we are, can come boldly to the throne of grace and find strength and help in time of need. Just an awesome thought. And we thank You for that. But oh God, help us to be faithful in prayer and ever seek Your will in Your way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.